full of cinematic garbage. One man will be your filter. Welcome to Movies Worth Seeing with your host, Michael Piccinieri.
Hey everyone, quick Marta, quick! Hey everyone, and welcome to Movies Worth Seeing. I'm Michael Piccinieri, joined by Denise, and Martin's praying to God. I don't know why he didn't watch Black Adam. We did. It's really funny. I actually asked, like, Martin, are you going to watch Black Adam for the podcast? And he was like, nah, I've got superhero fatigue. And then what does he tell me now? Oh, I watched Wakanda Forever. What the hell? I wanted to see how they would treat Chadwick Boseman. I know how they treated him. They exploited his death for that movie so they could make a quick buck. Anyway. Right in.
That's some hot.
Right
some,
in there.
Just go hot, straight into
just
it,
go
didn't
straight
I?
In,
some
yeah.
hot
anyway,
take there.
This is not Black Panther 2. This is Black Adam. Denise, what did you think of Black Adam?
Gosh. You know, it's a movie I could have done without. I only admittedly like watched it because my dad had expiring cinema vouchers and he's like, hey, let's go watch Black Adam. And I'm like, okay, Dad, for you. That's, for you and the fam.
And that's so good too, because I think DC's extended universe owes its entire profits to movie vouchers, because that's the only time I've ever watched these damn movies is when I have a lot of movie vouchers that are about to expire. Yes, Martin? Are you still laughing at the fact that I forgot to press record? For a whole hour that we were talking about this shitty movie and now we have to talk about it again.
So, do you want to explain what happened?
Yeah, I just did. Anyway.
Oh, and it may or may not have been all caught on camera.
Yes, that's one good thing. We caught it all on camera, but our podcast listeners won't enjoy listening to the shitty audio.
Web extra.
Anywho, Denise, The Rock, man, Black Adam. Okay, so you saw it because of the movie vouchers with your dad. You actually wanted to walk out of this movie.
Oh, yes. And I've never felt that way before about any film. I mean, Jurassic Park Dominion, I only stayed there because we were seeing it in 4D, so I was literally strapped in. But, you know.
Oh, yeah, seatbelt.
Yeah, actually, I did have a seatbelt. I was in the seats right at the back.
Do they have to unlock you from the seatbelts?
No, I think.
Oh, you can unlock yourself.
Yeah, no, I can unlock myself.
That would have been pretty funny because then it would have been like Jurassic Park, like you actually are forced to watch.
It's not a
Dominion.
Roller coaster ride where they have a buckle, a safety harness, and all that.
Yeah, but
they force you to sit through the whole 2 hours.
Some of the 4D was that intense, so it did almost feel like a roller coaster ride.
Oh, okay.
I was surprised as well.
Was there a version where Sam Neill's accent actually sounded good?
If only.
There's nothing funnier than a New Zealander trying to put on an American accent, even though he, all the other movies, he doesn't have an American accent.
Well then,
Ellie, don't tell me that you came all this way to tell me that you are from, yeah. What? There's bloody dinosaurs out.
Oh, God.
Anyway, getting back to Black Adam. Look, about this movie. What do you predict, Martin, would happen in this film?
I'm going to guess that there'll be a very generic villain that's like set up just for this one movie, and then there's going to be some big CGI battle where there's like a giant beam to the sky, and then there's just like CGI destruction. Oh, am I hitting the nail on the head?
100%! Oh. All points to Martin. You just predicted the entire ending of Black Adam.
Oh, okay.
Does that make Martin Dr. Fate?
Ooh!
Oh, dear.
Or should we say Doctor Strange? Doctor Fate is Doctor Strange. I mean, like, it sucks that Doctor Fate came first in the comics, but here he is just stuck doing all of Doctor Strange's shit. just the greatest hits with his powers, isn't he?
Yeah, the arguments that fans make that, like, oh, but Dr. Fate came first in the comics, that argument is kind of, like, dismissible because we're talking about live-action depictions, and Doctor Strange came out 6 years ago, which, wow, 2016 was 6 years ago. So it's like a sort of been there, done that. And I'm going to guess it's all the samesies kind of, like, tricks with, like, weird hand symbols and, like, sort of, like, all mysticals and stuff, and he's floating and all. Am I really hitting the nail on the head?
You left out an important point. Dr. Fate has a helmet.
That's the only differentiating factor.
Bam! Completely different. Dr. Fate feels like, what did you say, Denise? Like when you hand in an assignment?
Oh, yes. Like when you hand in an assignment and the turn it in thing, like, tests the plagiarism. And you get, like, a percentage of how similar it is from one thing to another. And I feel like it'd just be at the 98%.
Yeah, exactly. Same. When someone copies someone else's homework and the teacher's like, this is the exact same. And then the kid just rubs out, like, one word and puts fate.
See, it's unique. It's totally different from that other report.
Having said that, I prefer Pierce Brosnan does something. I don't know. I just find Pierce Brosnan more awesome. I don't know if it's just Pierce Brosnan or I feel like everyone is just like, oh my God, Dr. Fate is so amazing. And I think it's purely because Pierce Brosnan is just awesome and everyone was just happy to see Pierce Brosnan.
That's true. Actually, I remember going into the film, Pierce Brosnan was my saving grace. I was like, you know what? I'm going to enjoy Pierce Brosnan's performance. I know I will.
You know why? Because I think he says all these lines of dialogue that no actor, like, would portray and make it believable, but he manages to. Like, he'll be like, do you want to be a hero or do you not want to? That is the question. Like, lines of dialogue that are really lame like that. But when Brosnan says it, it sounds awesome. I'm like, give me more shitty dialogue.
As for the other members of the JSA, like, this is a live action debut. How do they depict the chemistry between the four team members? Is it like, does it come across natural? And I ask because it's like, I don't remember like 2 decades ago what the perception of was with big superhero team-ups with the X-Men, like when they have an ensemble cast and stuff from the get-go, rather than nowadays when we expect each individual solo superhero origin movies to set up the Avengers, like, gathered together kind of movie. So in this being their first live-action debut, so without a Dr. Fate beforehand, without the flying chick, without Hawkman, without Atom something.
Smasher.
Atom Smasher. How well portrayed or not well portrayed is their chemistry with each other?
You know, I think that Hawkman and Dr. Fate have good chemistry.
Yeah, yeah.
Purely because of the actors, not because of the script. The script gives them nothing. The script just legit says, you guys are friends. And the actors are like, I will save you. Like they're putting every little bit into every bit of dialogue they say. Like, Hawkman could be saying to Dr. Fate, I will get you a sandwich because you got me a sandwich when I needed a sandwich. Remember back in Nam when you saved me? And I'm like, shit, man. There's a whole relationship here. But if you just looked at the script, you're like, yeah, they're mates, I guess.
Curious question. If there was a solo Dr. Fate and Dr. Hawkman movie prior to this that actually showed these events in place, would it make their cheesy dialogues in this movie all the more believable now, given their performance? Like, would you think, oh, wow, that was very profound what they did. But since we didn't see all these beforehand, did the performance sell those experiences that they're saying happened to them in the past? Like, they're bromancing.
First of all, Hawkman hasn't gotten his doctorate yet. You said Dr. Hawkman. I was like, yes, an opportunity to make fun of Martin.
Rewind that. Did I say that?
I'm 100% right that you did.
Huh. You had me so confused with that punchline. Rewind.
Denise knows. You heard it.
Did I seriously say Dr. Hawkman?
I don't know anymore.
Dr. Fate and Hawkman.
I'm questioning myself.
Well, you know what? When you edit this, you can see for yourself.
And facepalm in real
And then insert facepalm. Anyway, yes, once Hawkman does get his doctorate, that can be a whole film. Like, Hawkman goes to get his medical degree. That'd be a great
I'd watch that. I'd much prefer to watch that.
I probably shouldn't say that because Hollywood's going to be like, oh my God, we should make a prequel about that.
Note that down.
I could see the poster now for Dr. Fate's spin-off. how did Dr. Fate find his doctorate and put it on his wall? Where did he get the degree? Which medical school did
okay,
he go
to? Okay, you're taking the piss out of me now, okay? Can you just go to my original question?
Right, what was the original question?
Does their performance really sell their bromance that they have a past history that we didn't see on screen?
Not really. It feels not like really? The actors are clinging for scraps because there's not enough there. There's not enough scenes there because this movie tries to juggle too much. It tries to juggle 10 million characters when all it really should be focusing on is Black Adam.
100%.
Black Adam. Yeah.
And his like path of like trying to reclaim his humanity with that kid. Yeah. Yeah. Was that accomplished well?
What do you think the main problem is with Black Adam, Denise? One of the things that Martin is very not so subtly hinting at, kind of like all the dialogue in Black Adam. Just hitting me over the head.
On the nose.
Yeah. Well,
on the nose.
That's what I would say.
Yes.
I think, like you said, it's trying to accomplish so many things at once that it can only do so on a really superficial level. And so I think we see that come across in like the dialogue, in some of the character kind of arcs, because a lot of them don't really have an arc. Or if something happens, other characters just explain like what happens or what their thoughts are, and it's not even in the performance kind of thing.
Well, I mean, we have one clear character arc, Black Adam. Or Tef Adam becoming Black Adam.
Oh, dear.
So that he can be, yes, a hero.
Do they try too hard to be profound, like where, oh, it's like the lines being blurred between whether he's being a hero or a villain?
They just do the same shit that Morbius did, where one character just is constantly saying, do you know what you want to be? Are you a hero? Are you a villain? You need to make that choice at some point in your life. Do you want to save the world or rid it?
Tyler Perry? No, not Tyler Perry. The black dude. Is he Corbin? Who you're referring to? The dude that's Morbius. Trying to sell Morbius to...
No, the, do- like, yeah,
you
the
save,
doctor.
You save lives. You don't... Well, I forgot.
Oh, yeah.
Is that who you're referring
Dr.
to?
Dr. Morbius. You don't take lives. You save them. What are you doing? Yeah, that's Morbius.
Trying to hammer home and try too hard to be profound.
Yeah. Like, I mean, they don't give Black Adam a chance to show that he's in some kind of conflict about being a hero or a villain. They just kind of have him beat the shit out of bad guys really well, I will admit, but he's just beating the shit out of bad guys. And by the end of the movie, they just say, I guess he's a bad guy, but he just saved the world. So I don't get it. And then Superman comes in for his fucking post-credit scene and we're all meant to be just like jerking off to the fact that Henry Cavill was back as Superman. And Superman's like says to Black Adam like, well, Black Adam, I guess we'll be fighting at some point in the sequel. And I'm like, well, why are you fighting? Black Adam hasn't done anything bad. He hasn't done anything to be a threat to Superman. I don't get it.
Superman should be like happy and giddy that there's another superpowered being on planet Earth just like him. He can finally share his pain, the pain of his existence that, oh, everything's like a cardboard. I have to be so careful with the world
around
me.
Exactly. They should be measuring each other's dicks, not just being like, I'm going to get you. Black Adam, I'm going to imprison you at some point because you've been very naughty. You haven't been good. You've been... What did he do again? He killed some bad guys. Don't we all do that? That's what I did. I snapped a dude's neck in the first movie that I was in. Remember? Oh, no one remembers Men of Steel. Of course not. Yeah.
Yeah, tell me, Superman, in your infinite wisdom, have you ever not killed people? I thought so.
Exactly. Imagine, wouldn't it have been great if Black Adam had said that to him in the post-credits? He could have just been like, oh, I'm sorry. Have you never killed someone before? And then they could have just had a close-up on Henry Cavill just being like, no, I've never killed anyone.
Some of the great villain moments are when they point out the hypocrisy of the hero. And that would have been somewhat of a saving grace had he maybe made that commentary.
They try to do that, don't they, with Black
they
Adam
do.
And Hawkman?
They do try.
But heroes don't kill people.
But it's too, like, lame and, like, anyone could have written that dialogue, conversation, exchange, where it's just, heroes don't kill people. Well, I do. And guess what?
I solved everything. I got rid of the gangs by killing them. And then Hawkman just being like, yeah, well, we don't do that. You don't kill them.
Cut to a compilation of Wonder Woman literally in World War One. Cut to a compilation of Batman literally shooting and impaling people. Cut to a compilation of Superman in Metropolis destroying buildings with the debris actually falling on people, as was shown in Batman v Superman opening sequence.
Yep. 100%. Denise?
It's just so odd because, like, you think DC Universe, they're always kind of going for that angle of like, oh, all our heroes are kind of anti-heroes because they do have all this collateral damage and we're a bit darker and edgier than the MCU. So then coming out with Black Adam and then still going for the same concept but to kind of wrapping it up as though it's something new or something we should really care for and that there are real things at stake and that this is different is just really odd.
Yeah, like you could take any other character and make this exact same movie.
Yeah.
You could have done the same shit with Shazam for his first movie of a kid just being like, I'm not a hero. And then he's accidentally killing bad guys and someone has to mentor him and be like, you don't kill bad guys. You're a hero. I'm not a hero. I'm a boy. Like, it would have been the same shit. But because it's The Rock, it's different.
Here's my question as someone who didn't watch the movie. Had this movie come out a decade plus ago, would this have been like a jaw-dropping, wow, this is like the most amazing thing I've ever seen kind of movie? What, when superhero movies were like rare once in a blue moon affair?
It would be slightly above average. Probably a 7 or a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
But in this climate when we have, you know, like The Boys and the and like a whole history, a catalog of like MCU movies, like Endgames and stuff, it's like we've sort of like seen it all and experienced all the hero's journey kind of variants that they could have, and like where they have like big spectacular CGI battles and stuff, and we talked about this before the cameras were rolling. It's just like we're just bored by spectacles, you know. It's like, yeah, this would, by alone, objectively in isolation, if this existed in a vacuum, this would be, you know, like a spectacular thing, like, wow, Avatar, look at this amazing CGI. But in the decade that has passed with all these other movies that's come out, it's like, oh, that's a great spectacle ending, giant beam to the sky, and it's like, oh, there's another one. So that's one of the reasons why I didn't watch Black Adam, but then I was a hypocrite and watched Black Panther.
That's like saying, I'm not going to watch any more Marvel movies. I'm not watching any more. I'm not going to watch Ant-Man. And then you watch Captain Marvel. It's like it's even worse.
Yeah. But to my point, it's like I don't want to just be wowed by another thing that's like, yeah, predictable. It's like I know they're going to end in a CGI battle. I'm sure I'll have a great time watching it, but it's like I've already been had that wow factor sort of like distilled for me.
Well, that's why this movie had a clear kind of opportunity. It had multiple opportunities to end in a much more interesting place. Don't you agree,
yes.
Denise?
Oh, my gosh. I think we were saying before how, like, if they just killed the kid, like, in that one scene where it's like, is he going to die? Is he going to make it in time to save him? If they killed him and then, like, Black Adam got to feel those real stakes of like, oh my God, this is the cost of me getting fueled by my rage and everything. Yeah. He has a real kind of moral decision to make. And then that's why he, you know, gives himself up or, you know, something else. It could end right there. And that'll be so much more satisfying.
Exactly.
It's like, he's a villain.
Have the guy be a villain. I mean, it's groundbreaking, I know, for Hollywood executives to understand this fucking concept. Have a villain be a villain by the end of the movie. I don't know. They nailed it with Joker, but for some reason we can't get that concept again of like watching someone become a villain.
Yeah, like the Joker, you see little moments, like little incidents, little unlucky moments where he was like, you know, he got the boots from society. It's all these things that accumulate and then the final turning point where he finally, one final thing to make him snap, then that, you know, transition into just fully turning to the dark side makes sense. But so I'm getting the vibe that with Black Adam, they don't plant any seeds, that they don't have that accumulation effect of like little incidents here and there where he faces injustice. And then finally, maybe hypothetically, the kid dies. And then he finally is like, okay, the world is unfair. I'm just going to like, you know, a scorched earth approach. And then the JSA is like, nah, he's a lost cause. Okay,
no,
there's
no.
None of that?
As soon as he gets released, the Justice Society gets called in to go after him. He hasn't even done anything, really.
Yeah.
And they already are like,
And it's pretty funny, actually, because Amanda Waller's, it's almost like a beeper goes off straight away. And she's like, oh, my God, there's another superhero around. We need to take care of him. Who are we going to call? It's the Justice League, Suicide Squad, or Hawkman and Dr. Fate.
That's true.
Well, this is a pretty big mission. Let's get Hawkman and Dr. Fate. I was like, what? Isn't there the Justice League? Shouldn't you just call those guys?
It's true.
If it's such a huge threat.
Yeah. It's a just big Justice League / Avenger level threat. Oh, my God.
This is why you can't have these cinematic universes with superheroes. There's too many, like, there's always going to be inconsistencies where it's like, yeah. Okay, if this guy is such a threat, then the whole entire Justice League should be called in, not some two characters that we've never seen before in any other movies. But anyway, that's what ends up happening. It was a shame that Black Adam couldn't be a bad guy by the end of the movie. It would have saved this movie from just being a generic, fun, yet forgettable movie. Denise?
Yeah, it's weird. It's almost like they're too afraid to sometimes skew completely that direction. And I wonder, partially wonder if that's to do with, you know, just the world climate at the moment. You know, we've come out of pandemic, but there's still a lot of stuff happening and, you know, a lot of fear and anxiety going around. I wonder if that's, you know, being reflected on some of these creative decisions where they're like, you know what, people are already surrounded by all this doom and gloom. Let's always skew towards safer endings and safer things.
You know what I think it is?
Yeah.
Think about it. If Black Adam's a bad guy at the end of this movie, they can't make a Black Adam sequel. But if he's a hero, then Black Adam 2, which we've already heard they're going to make a Black Adam 2. And if they do, I doubt they're going to end it with him being the critical villain. I feel like they'll still have him be a hero. They'll have him save a whole bus full of children. And then right at the end, they'll have like Superman come up to him and be like, man, you saved that bus full of children, but you forgot the bus driver.
We gotta fight.
Dukes up. Yeah.
The contractual nature of Hollywood is like, that makes me really irritated when the actors themselves or the movie endings play coy with like, oh, is he or is he not villain or dead or alive or whatever. It's like, I know he's guaranteed to come back in the next movie to some capacity. So there's no mystery, because you know, they print money. They have star power. So it's like, there's no mystery. I know they're coming back, you know, so that's the thing.
The funny thing with Black Adam is it's like they keep looking at the audience and saying, I bet you don't know whether he's a villain or we're playing with their minds. And it's like, I know exactly what yous are doing. You're going to have him be a hero by the end. How would I know this? Maybe because Dr. Fate has said 10 million times, you're a hero, damn it. He sounds like, you're a wizard, Harry. Yeah, you're
does.
A wizard.
He really does.
Trying way too hard to be like this profound, like larger than life. It's like you leave the cinema with thoughts in your mind sort of thing, right?
Oh, yeah. I had thoughts. My thought was, why the hell did it take 15 years to make a movie where The Rock is playing a superhero?
Gosh,
the dude's
years.
More jacked than any Marvel superhero actor. And yet, for some reason, they're like, I don't know if we can make Black Adam. Seems like a gamble. The Rock, superheroes. I don't know if it's going to make money. Are you serious? You know what I mean? Like, it's just, we made a Captain Marvel. I'm sure you can make a fucking Black Adam. Anyway, Denise, what else did you like?
Oh, gosh. Did I mention Pierce Brosnan's performance and Hawkman's performance as well? Yeah,
How good were they?
They were great. I think, like, those scenes I did cherish because they were in stark difference to, I guess, some of the other stuff we got. Yeah, and then some of the CGI, like, some of that was kind of fun. Like, some of the action scenes were a bit different, were a bit more creative. So they did, like, bring me back in. So
there is a lot of action.
But it brings me back to the point. Like, I think everyone's getting bored by spectacle again.
As good as
they are in a vacuum, it's like we've seen other, you know, like groundbreaking sort of like innovative things. So I'm not in the mood for that anymore, you know?
Having said that, on the positive note, at least this movie delivered in the action.
Okay.
And as far as like, at least the action isn't weighed down by a bunch of horrible, shitty improvisational jokes that only the cast and crew think are funny and that no one else is laughing at. Thor, Love and Thunder.
So So as all the action good, or just like most of it, or like some,
when
that chick throws the pipe things at.
Oh, that was like a great moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. When people ask like, oh, what about Cyclone? What was her role? I'm just going to say to throw pipes at Black Adam and circle him with the pipes.
They all miss.
They all miss. And he's looking at the pipes and just like.
Menacingly.
Are you serious? That's it. I legit cooked a guy to crisp. I grabbed his neck and electrocuted him to death. And you think these stupid pipes are going to stop me? It felt like throwing a bunch of plastic straws at Superman.
Gosh. Yeah. I remember actually when Cyclone first used her powers, my first thought was literally, ah, there's diversity and inclusion, because she was literally like the pride flag. That's what I thought, because of all the beautiful colors. And I was like, oh, that's beautiful. But I also thought like, is this also partially virtue signaling?
You know what?
She wasn't a quota.
I knew it wasn't virtue signaling because of the way she was interacting with Atom Smasher or all the characters. Like, they weren't presenting her in a way where, oh, she has to undermine and be really smug and undermine all the male characters.
She can out-bench press every other male members of the JSA.
They could have gone that direction and they didn't. So, actually, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't have this weird moment where everyone was like, Cyclone is actually the chosen one and she's the only one that can defeat Black Adam and none of us can at all. We're all wimps.
Girl power.
She didn't like look at the camera and go, girls, girls run the world. Yeah, girls. Yeah, yeah. Who run this mother? She didn't do that.
Yeah, thank goodness. And honestly, like her powers, I don't know.
They're pretty shit powers.
They're pretty shit.
But then again, Atom Smasher has shit powers too. He gets big and every time he gets big, he's like, oh shit, what am I doing? I don't know how I'm going to get out of this.
I can't remember. Could he get small as well?
No, he can only get bigger.
That's kind of useless.
He's the exact opposite of Ant-Man.
Well, Ant-Man can also get big. So it's like he's just the knockoff Ant-Man discounted. He's the
so there's two instances of been there, done that, of like familiarity and been there, done that. Doctor Strange, Doctor Fate, and Atom Smasher, and Ant-Man. I mean, so
they
know.
Also ride a jet that comes out of what looks like
X-Men Mansion.
Yeah, that's what I thought
too. The exact first thought I saw when I saw the trailer. Yeah,
so there's a lot of familiarity.
Oh, and the jet that they use, my thought was that it was like the Wakandan like thing, especially with how Black Panther has a hole that opens up in the ground and he has to fall through it. That's the similarity that I drew.
It looks exactly the same as the X-Men jet. Like same design, everything. So that's all I could think of. And it comes out of the basketball court of Xavier's school for mutants. So I just thought to myself, this is the exact... Whatever.
Just familiarity, man. We've had like decades of precedence, you know? So it's like...
But if you're going to take something that's familiar, just like give it that twist. Give it the shock ending. Like you said, I mean, there was a time when I was like 10 years old where the beam to the sky blew my mind.
Jaw-dropping.
But now it's like, oh yeah, here we go. Final act that goes for half an hour longer than it should. For a bunch of mindless spectacle action sequences. Just wake me up when the credits roll and we see the pointless mid-credits scene that I could have watched on YouTube.
The stinger.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know the villain's going to get defeated and stuff. Yeah.
This movie didn't need a villain. It had Black Adam. Black Adam should be the villain.
That's so true.
Oh, so like the villain of the villain isn't a good guy?
The villain of my villain is actually my friend. That's what they were trying. That's essentially what they went for.
The CGI villain wasn't, the final boss villain wasn't like a good guy, nor were like the gang thing.
No,
inter-gango,
he was just he started off as Squirtle.
Oh dear.
As a human character. And then he evolves into Blastoise with no backstory whatsoever. And purely just to be vanquished. The only thing we know about him is that he was friends with the guy who unleashed Black Adam, but then he turns on her and they made out like, oh my God, he double crossed her. And I was like, who cares, man? Who the fuck is this guy? Yeah. Did we talk about the kid?
Like him being the John Connor figure that you've mentioned in your solo review?
Yeah. Yeah. He's a kid.
Like,
that's his character. He's a kid.
And you made the point that he's the one that tries to bring humanity back to like Black Adam stuff. But instead of being the actual discoverer of, you know, the millennia old buried person who's forgotten his or her humanity and stuff, Which, yeah, it's tropey, but it's like usually that's how it goes. Like the person that discovers the person is the one that reintroduces them back to the human world and then makes them regain their humanity and appreciate humanity once
exactly.
more.
Well, if you're going to follow 10 million other tropes, I mean, one more is not going to hurt. It's like, it depends what it is, but like it feels weird to just be like, that's the trope we're going to subvert, man. It's just going to be another character that unleashes Black Adam.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's like, well, that trope could be used because that would shorten shit down and yes. get through stuff quicker.
Probably be more effective that way too.
Yeah. But if you want to see The Rock play a bad guy, just watch 2003 WWE. I was actually really disappointed that Black Adam doesn't rock bottom anyone in this whole movie.
He never throws in like, it doesn't matter a line to any, like to Hawkman.
That would have been the best.
Like the Hulk.
Hawkman. Hawkman's like, heroes still kill people. And he's like, it doesn't matter what you say. Or he says to him like, I'm sorry, what is your name? And he's like, my name is her. It doesn't matter what you say. Well, really,
why shouldn't I kill people? Well, because it doesn't matter. I do it my way.
It doesn't matter if the critics hate us.
Oh, dear me.
I think we covered everything that we said an hour prior when the audio wasn't recording.
Yeah, web extra.
Final words. Martin, do you think that you made the right choice seeing Wakanda Forever instead of Black Adam based on me and Denise's chats?
Well, I'll put it this way. I watched like Black Panther knowing it was kind of like a hypocritical choice, but mainly because of brand familiarity and also wanting to cleanse my palate of after watching Thor Love and Thunder and also wanting to see how they adapt real world death of their main cast into the material they had rewritten.
So you wanted to cleanse your Marvel palate by watching another Marvel movie.
Like at least it's not like a goat screaming every 5 seconds thing. I wanted an actual like serious take on the Marvel lore. But despite my hypocrisy, I would say it's like I wouldn't have otherwise watched either of the Blacks movie purely because I'm bored by spectacle. I don't want to watch another like, oh, there's going to be big beam to the sky, generic CGI villain moment thing where we know he's going to get vanquished even after he's just only been introduced in this one movie and then he'll never show up again. So I won't watch, you know, the movie, especially now after I've heard, you know, your inputs onto this thing.
Do you think I would like Wakanda Forever?
Honestly, knowing the cynical person you are, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. I mean, you told me you didn't like the first Black Panther, so
fucking
you wouldn't watch
it. Hated it. Like, fuck that movie.
Like, I think just to
I know
be
you're not
unreadable.
Allowed to hate Black Panther.
A little bit of a sidetrack point. It's just that, like, the Black Panther one will be, you know, what's the term? It will be stand the test of time, but then Black Panther 2 will forever be known as that movie that had to have its materials be rewritten to adapt to the current situation with the main actor having an untimely death. So, yeah. But then it's like these two movies, you know, Black Adam and then Black Panther coming out so close together. Again, just fatigued from superhero movies with, you know, after having The Boys and all 20 plus Marvel movies. I'm sure they'll try something to subvert expectations each time, but I highly doubt it. So I just, again, as I said, the only reason I watched Black Panther instead of Black Adam was just for brand familiarity and just wanting to cleanse my palate.
Okay, so, yeah. Battery's running out. Denise, what's your final words?
That's it. Silence. I have no final words. My brain has gone into delirium. Yeah, I could have done without watching this film.
Without the voucher, would you have watched it?
No. I had no interest, like zero.
That was a fast no.
Exactly. And it's just, yeah, it's the fatigue. It's everything. And with this film, I at least thought as well, like, oh, maybe seeing The Rock as The Rock, that's at least entertaining. But it was like he was trying to do character work without having the real pathos to really get there and have something meaningful, I felt. So then it was like, oh, okay, then I can't even enjoy the fun of The Rock being The Rock. Then.
Oh, so you think if this was The Rock that we see in like every other movie,
Adam would have at least had some charisma.
Yeah.
A little something besides this being kind of deadpan serious the whole time and having like quite a flat feeling.
Stoic, yeah.
Yeah.
We needed The Rock from Doom, that over-the-top bad guy.
He's like, we kill them all. We kill women, children. We kill them all.
Jeez.
I wonder if he did that, you would subject him to criticisms of that type of villain archetype, though.
What?
You know, if he threw on that kind of act, I wonder if criticism would be different.
I liked him in Doom being a bad guy. I just hated the movie. But I liked the idea of The Rock being a bad guy because I was sick of seeing him be like, get up early. I get up at 4 a.m. because I'm successful. Everyone loves me. Like, I'm sick of that persona everywhere. I want to see him be a dick. But this just wasn't enough of him being a dick for me to enjoy it because they didn't let him be a dick. Because he's so fucking... he's always trying so hard to not be a dick. He's so worried about looking like a dick. And it's so funny to me because the dude made his success from being The Rock as a wrestler. When he was a dick, that was him at his best. When that was him at his most popular. And now he's just like, I'm Mr. Nice Guy. I have to be nice in everything. Even though I just killed a bunch of people, they were all military men and they were terrorists. So I'm still good. I'm the hero.
Now, in this iteration, he's killing intergangs. Yeah.
Yeah, he's killing gangs called intergangs. Denise, would you rather watch 2 hours of The Rock wrestling or Black Adam again? If I told you a compilation of 2 hours of The Rock being a bad guy in wrestling.
No, I'd watch the wrestling. I would definitely watch the wrestling.
So would I.
Yeah.
You know what you just failed to do? You missed a perfect opportunity to do like a, that, it doesn't matter what you think moment to Denise. But, you know, just as a punchline.
What do you mean?
Like you ask...
It doesn't matter what you think.
There you go.
All right, guys. That's it. All right, guys. That's us for tonight. Please give a like, share, and subscribe or whatever to the video, to the YouTube channel. Give us some love on the podcast or don't, whatever.
Yep.
Cool.
Especially when we remember to record them or press the record button.
Yeah, we did this twice, guys. Please show some love. Even though it was my fault that I forgot to record.
I'm smiling through the pain. We made so many good points in that discussion.
It's all good. We did well, guys. We did well.
Focus on the positive.
Just look at the smile. Ignore the tears.
All right, cool. We have a million see you, guys. Faces.
Thank you for listening to Movies Worth Seeing. Make sure to like and share the show and leave a review. You can follow us on Instagram at Michael Pish Podcasting and watch movie reviews, audience reaction videos, and other fun content on our YouTube channel at Michael Pishinary.